JG3. The Model of Being. The Science of All Sciences. Number 1A.
Yes, okay. So welcome us all together. We welcome ourselves to Casanova in the class. This session is going to be on, as you know, the Model of Being, and Christian Science is a science of all sciences, as we have it in the study questionnaire that I had sent out earlier. But we notice there that there's a colon, isn't there? And after the colon really comes what the main atmosphere is that we want to be engaged in this week. And after the colon is, today's leading scientists are converging toward an understanding of the universal impersonal laws of God. This is the underlying theme of the class. And so every discussion really comes back to showing, more or less as it has been shown, that revelation and reason will coincide. And also what Mrs. Eddy said, the earth will help the woman. Today we all know that there is a terrific impact of the divine idea on the scientists today. Even the scientists themselves, especially, gosh, even already in the 1960s, were beginning to see that science thinks the scientist. And we know that from Max Kepler's little booklet on man, the thinker or the thought of, he already was showing there from various scientists, from Buchholz's book on the Great Transformation, that Buchholz was showing that there were these laws in being, which they called the laws of inner acceleration, the laws of inner logic, and the laws of inner goal-directedness, which we hear as the laws of life, truth, and love, don't we? The laws of inner acceleration, those laws of life, those laws of inner logic, those laws of truth, and those laws of goal causality, the laws of love, that those laws of inner acceleration, inner logic, and goal causality, he said, were moving science forward, and that science was moving forward through a self-evolution independent of the scientist. So already the scientists themselves see that somehow the divine, they call it divine, this will be interesting for us this week, to see how there are laws, and they don't leave the laws as physical laws, as we'll see, that they can and will often attribute them to God, or at least to perhaps higher dimensional laws, but they're thinking the scientist. And so we can see ourselves that through the operation of the Christ idea, where principle God comes to us and presents what the universe is idea as idea, what the earth is as idea, in which all mankind is as idea, has an impact not only on the universe and on the earth and on Christian scientists, but on scientists also. We don't live in a diverse universe. We live in one universe. And as we will see this evening, that Mrs. Eddy said, all science is divine. If the physical scientists want to call it a physical law or a physical science, that's up to them at the moment. But because we know that the basic structure of being is based primarily on the laws of the Christ and their translation and retranslation, as given in our textbook, Science and Health, on page 115 and 116, that translation of immortal mind, which we call the first translation, and that translation of mortal mind, which we call the second translation, we know that that translation is absolutely the basic bedrock of the structure of the textbook, as a Christ is a Christ, and it is the deep structure of that algorithm in being today of the one and the two. That's what an algorithm is. It's a method of procedure, a rule of procedure. And the basic fundamental algorithm that is happening in being is that Christ in its twofold operation. First of all, as I said, principle is presenting the universe as idea. I have often been really impressed where Mrs. Eddy shows in the creation chapter where she says eternal truth is changing the universe. And I always thought, well, that's real nice. It's changing the universe, you know. Never thought too much about it except it was a nice statement. Until I began to read a lot of these theoretical physicists and quantum physicists from the standpoint of Christian Science, especially when I was working with the sixth chapter in 1988-89, I began to see that all science was divine and therefore everything was included within being. And I could see then that these scientists were beginning then to respond to these higher laws, and especially that principle God was changing the universe. And first of all, principle God was changing it how? It first was presenting the universe as an ideational universe. And then it was also presenting it as an ideational earth. We know that Mrs. Eddy says in the textbook that earth can either be seen as material or spiritual. So it presents the universe as idea, it presents the earth as idea, and it presents all mankind as idea. So we know that through the logic of the levels, that on the level of science itself, as we'll discuss together when we discuss the law in detail, that infinite principle, which includes all other principles, on the level of divine science then, that's where we get principle and its idea is one, and this one is principle. That's where principle presents ideational universe. That's the first step down, isn't it? The next step down that the principle shows us is that it presents itself as ideational earth and then as ideational man on Absolute Christian Science. So this is the big feeling I want to show this week, that we are dealing with great big fundamental issues that cover not only the infinitesimal, but the infinite. Not only dimensional ontology, which studies the basic constituents of reality, but also a comprehensive cosmology. So we will take a look at this statement in its a little bit more detail. Now, we know that Max, in his various classes, have always more or less shown us that Mrs. Eddy said that Christian Science and Christian scientists must have a history. And we loved where he showed us that Christian Science could be looked at in big 40-year period blocks. And he showed that from 1866 to 1910, Mrs. Eddy gave us the revelation of Christian Science. And from 1910 to 1950, John Dorley gave us then the discovery of the scientific revelation behind Christian Science. And he then was able to discover those seven big main, values of God as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, the definition of God, and then the fourfold operation of God as the word Christ, Christianity, and science, and then we know as the four levels of spiritual consciousness, science itself, divine science, and absolute Christian science. He discovered through the capitalized terms what we call the divine system of reference. And in the shorthand, we say the seven, the four, and the four, which are those 15 basic root notions. He gave us really from his, as Max said, John Dorley worked mainly through intuition, inspiration, and spiritual sense. Discovering then behind the textbook these great big categories. And his main job really, as we know, looked out from the tonality of these categories and interpreted the Bible, though he did do some work with the textbook. Then Max went on to say there was the next third big block of 40-year periods from 1950 to 1990, Where? He always never says it's his era, but we naturally know that Max, his work in 1950, starting on there with the compendiums, though we know he wrote Christian Government in 1946 to stick up for John Dorley's work, and because of that book he was excommunicated. But his compendiums came to us in around 1950s for the study of the synonymous terms, and from there onward he went on to really give us basically the structure of the Christian Science textbook out from those categories of the seven, the four, and the four. In order to have that tonality, he said the structure of the textbook came alive in its symphonic structure. And we have, of course, his fruition in his book, The Structure of the Christian Science Textbook, Our Way of Life. And then later on, we love his book on the science of the oneness of being behind the Christian Science Textbook. And then his great work we love on the Epitomes book, the Epitomes, the basic structure of the textbook in its epitome form. So that covers three periods, from 1950 to 1990. But he said there'd be, that he could see there were these big four blocks, and then he said to us that there would be from 1990 onward, that the accent then would go from the revelation of Christian Science of Mrs. Eddy, through the scientific revelation of John Dorley, to the scientific evolution of the discovery by Max Kepler, and then finally to generic man, who would reveal the successor, and the successor is divine science. Mrs. Eddy said, revelators would come, but they would not be deified. And therefore, when they asked her how Christian Science would come through the churches, she really doesn't answer it specifically in the sixth chapter. She leaves it open to show basically that generic man would reveal her successor. And she shows very clearly in the theology section of the textbook that that Christian Science, as she saw it and gave it in the textbook, was not to be passed down as kings and queens are crowned from a royal dynasty. It doesn't such that it had to come out of the loins of Christian Science or out of the loins of those who study the science of Christian Science. The mantle isn't passed down from person to person. It's a very impersonal thing, and I think we see that today. The way the scientists are responding to these higher laws of being with consciousness prepared, it's coming everywhere, all over the place, to any open consciousness. They're beginning to feel the higher dimensional spiritual laws impacting them, just as we saw that these life laws of life, truth, and love are impacting the scientists. And think the scientists. So naturally we don't make anything personal, but Max said that the future would be to discover that the universe is Christian Science. That's the next generation in the generic term. And so therefore we can see that this is the atmosphere that I want to bring to this study, is that the discovery that the universe is Christian Science, and that how can we discover it? Only built on the first three great 40-year periods, only built on Mrs. Eddy's work, John Dorley's work, and Max Kepler's work. Certainly we can see Max stood on the shoulders of giants, and it was his work as a wonderful scientific evolution of the discovery of of science behind Mrs. Eddy and Dorley's work, where we love the fact that he came and gave us the scientific tools and the scientific method. He constantly said, I came not to inspire you. I came to teach method. I didn't come to throw you fishes. I came to teach you how to fish. He said that I've come to teach you how to think in terms of categories, how to work with dimensional thinking, cybernetic thinking, thinking in terms of laws. He says, I came to teach text interpretation. And then his great classes on the syllabus program, Syllabus 1 on showing us the study of the seven synonymous terms as in the compendiums. Then Syllabus 2 showing us the blending of the seven. And then Syllabus 3 starting with the four orders of the word order, the Christ order, Christianity order, and science order. Then Syllabus 4 and 5 giving us the laws of the levels of science itself, divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science. It's that terrific polishing of the science in its categories that Max's legacy has come down to us. And I feel today we have to honor that legacy and to see that it is not lost. That's why I would like to open this class to being a seminar and not a lecture. I don't plan to lecture tonight, maybe so, but it is a seminar starting tomorrow as we begin going over the tonality of the levels and then on to the laws of the levels, the law of science itself, divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science, which embodies the basic structure of the class. Because we can't be passive. I feel we're at a very critical point. And I feel either we're going to go down the road of religion and we can just have again the religion of the science of Christian science, where we just listen to a spiritual, to a teacher's inspiration of what they know of a subject, and we go away thinking, oh, that teacher's very smart, maybe someday I can be that smart. Or we're going to be scientists and see it as a science and not as a religion, and see that our responsibility is really, as we well know, to get the categories ourselves, huh? Through concept building, tonality building, consciousness building, and being building with the fundamentals. This we know, this we love, but in order to see that the universe is Christian science, we have to, we know, have tonality of the categories, don't we? And once we get the tonality of the seven synonymous terms for God and the fourfold operation and the four levels of spiritual consciousness, that tonality becomes the structure of our consciousness. And once it becomes the structure of our consciousness, it becomes our very own being. And Max has often said to us that he just heard the structure behind the textbook. It was like a big symphonic structure. I think that his little booklet, Stately Science Pauses Not, is just terrific. He shows in there how Mrs. Eddy was a scientist who gave us a universal science, the church universal and triumphant. And I think what we can see from her manual is that it evolved from the belief of organization of the first church that was closed into the second organization, which was a suffer it to be so, but into the church universal and triumphant. And today one is often stands aghast when we see in something like the Atlantic Monthly, a great big thick article about Christian science and the religion of Christian science and how they are accusing various Christian scientists of not taking their children to a doctor and things like this. How I get to feeling and have said before that there has been communication between us and Boston in the past, and that the church is very happy to continue on showing it as a religion of Christian science. And we see in various books coming out, like Stephen Gottschalk and these, who say that there's no structure to the textbook. They take it as a religion. And in the small correspondence that we've had over at times, the church seemed to have been happy that we would study it as science, they would study it as a religion, and we agree to disagree, but in this harmony. And I wanted to make it very clear that we are not after the church of Christian science. We are happy to live in harmony. We are not a threat to the Mother Church in any way. We want to live to agree to disagree in this harmony, and each one is allowed to do whatever they want to do. In the 1940s, the church excommunicated, as we know, John Dorley and Max Kapler. John Dorley at the time was one of the greatest teachers that they ever had in the church, and practitioners and lecturers. They booted him out. We have from his little booklet on his correspondence with the church called A Statement. He didn't want to leave. He had to leave. Max Kapler, having a tremendous background in Christian Science through his family, through his mother being a wonderful Christian Scientist, didn't want to leave but was booted out. Many of us have left, but I was raised a Christian Scientist from 6 years old all the way through the church. Only withdrew my membership in my early 20s when I came into the Dorley Kapler line. But my letter to the church was that I appreciated the help that I had from very small child onward, and that I was only leaving because one could see something higher. So we can see that we're going forward into what Mrs. Eddy saw, that yes, there was the first church, it was dissolved. Yes, there was a second one of which we all benefited by, and that we have left it. But her goal was this church, universal and triumphant. That's divine science. So if we lament that Christian Science has a bad name for some reason or another in the world, I always thought, that's how are we ever going to get the message across when it has such a bad connotation? Because many of us try to say, well, we're Christian Scientists, and people look at us and they don't want to hear anything, you see. But if we see that Mrs. Eddy's goal was a church universal and triumphant divine science, a universal science, it has nothing to do with the sectarian science that we teach. We teach the universal science in the light of the science of Christian Science, but we teach a universal science, a divine dimensional ontology and a divine cosmology. It's in the universe, and therefore that is the future, you see. That's our subject. It's universal. But to be able to hear it in the universe, we need the tonality of the categories. So this is what we want to do in this session together through a seminar workshop, is to culture tonalities in the laws of the levels, and so we can turn our vision towards the universe and hear the melody. One of the most important things that we'll always remember this week is what Mrs. Eddy tells us in the textbook, that our correct reasoning is always reasoning from cause to effect. We begin with mind, which can only be understood through its idea and never from its opposite matter. We are never, never, never looking at the physical scientist to gain an idea. And if I am showing a lot of the impact that our science and God has on the universe, I wouldn't want anyone to go away and say that the class went out from the physical sciences to talk about divine science. Never, never, never. It's impact, 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 impact. So it's clear, because there's always the danger of reversal, spiritualism, that they want to, the lie wants to reverse it on you and say, oh, well, you were talking about these various concepts in the science. You're getting your ideas from the sciences. That's not Christian Science. That is not what's going to go on in the class. We will always remember we go out first from reasoning from cause to effect in the science of mind. Will always begin with the divine capital mind and its idea, and find our subject not from its opposite matter. So that's something I want to really make clear, because and I'm sure it will be. So another point that I wanted to bring out this evening that we love is that the basis of this universal science then is a divine philosophy. Philosophy always is that big root category which explains within it science and metaphysics. So what we teach is a divine philosophy. If we look up the meaning of philosophy, and just for example, I chose the American Heritage Dictionary definition. Just philosophy as such means the system of values by which we live. And it gives us that deep structure worldview behind the various categories of 1, logic, 2, ethics, 3, aesthetics, 4, metaphysics, and 5, epistemology. Naturally, our interest is in all 5 categories, and we embrace all 5 categories. If we look specifically at the moment at metaphysics, the definition shows that metaphysics includes ontology and cosmology. So, if we are interested in a divine philosophy, then our subject must include a divine ontology and a divine cosmology. We can't focus on one and leave out the other. We can't just focus on ontology and forget cosmology. Then we will be, as Buckminster Fuller said, specialists, you know, that's reducing the world to a nothing but view, and therefore having the danger of taking that nothing but view and generalizing it. That we want to see that we embrace both in our divine metaphysics and divine philosophy, divine ontology and divine cosmology. So let's take a look at what divine ontology means. Well, if we looked in the study aid, and I'll just read it to us. We needn't have to turn to it if you have it. It's on page 1. We can see then that a divine ontology is really the science of the necessary constituents and relation of all divine being. So we certainly do that, don't we? We study the basic constituents and their relationships in being. And that's what it means when it says on page 1 that science is the key lies in its ability to reduce the infinite one to simplicity. A, to a few simple, fundamental, yet comprehensive categories. B, that interrelate and operate with each other on one principle to form dynamic and coherent structures, C, which underline all being and solve all questions of existence. Thus, through the tool of science, we are able to understand God in its system and structure. Science evolves in us a divinely structured consciousness until the structure of consciousness reflects and is one with the structure of being.